So the first few.
You want to pray for you?
Sure. We'll just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed opportunity that you've given us this weekend to gather around your word. We thank you for the wisdom that has been spoken in helping us to discern the word of truth correctly from the passages taken in John. And we thank you of all of the love that we were able to read of and the many more lessons which were contained. And Father, we would pray that we would take these lessons beyond just this weekend, but we would truly keep them within our hearts as we continue to apply them even as we go from this place. And we thank you for the hearts who have had questions come upon them, and we pray that you may continue to allow us to apply your wisdom as we seek to answer these now. We thank you for this blessed time once again. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So the first few questions are in regard to the topic of feet washing. The first question is, it is often said that in feet washing, the water temperature needs to be right. What does this really mean spiritually? I do understand that naturally, if the hot water is applied, it will certainly do much harm. But isn't there the need for us to do what the Lord would have us to do in feet washing? And does this exclude rebuking sharply as it is included?
The sisters that look after the children have asked the parents to pick them up. They were supposed to pick them up at 4:15. So if you have children in the Sunday school, please pick them up.
While the scripture is silent as to the temperature of water, but I understand the application and the meaning, what is being said in the question. And I believe that there's nothing excluded in that ministry and service, whatever is needed, but it requires, again, to follow the example of the Lord. What you've seen me do. And it takes that spirit, that attitude, to go forth to minister. And he will show what has to be applied, what scripture to use for a given occasion.
In Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So if there is a feet washing, it has to be done in the proper spirit, in the proper condition, in a spirit of meekness, in a spirit of lowliness. You know, you can't just stand up and say to your brother, your feet are dirty, why don't you just clean them? It has to take someone going down to his feet and clean them. So, and then regarding the temperature, as our brother mentioned, if it is too hot, it would cause harm. If it is too cold, it doesn't do much effect. It has to be the right temperature, has to be the right words in the right spirit. And then the towel, it was mentioned also in the study, would wipe away everything, would leave no trace, no trace that it wouldn't be spread around that this brother has his feet washed.
And I I'll add another scripture in Titus, chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.'" Now, I don't know who is able to do that today, but the apostle gives those instructions.
The second question is, what is the spiritual meaning of the towel, the basin, and water? We have reviewed the towel, but perhaps we can go over the basin and water once again.
Feet washing, as I see it, especially in the portion we have read, is not corrective ministry, but it is removing of that what defiles us. And that is done by applying the Word of God.
Third question. If the Lord washed his disciples' feet, how can we show to the world that lowly place he took, that we can be an example to unbelievers? If the Lord washed his disciples' feet, how can we show to the world that lowly place he took, so that we can be an example to unbelievers?
As I mentioned yesterday afternoon, what it must have been for Judas, who was an unbeliever, to have his feet washed by the Lord himself. And so I can think of many examples that believers have interactions with unbelievers and may do this service for their benefit, to help them. They will not always accept it, but some will accept it. But this will take this humble, this humility. The Lord humbled himself. If we provoke people around us, we will certainly not be able to wash their feet. It's very easy to provoke, but it is very hard to do this service of love in humility to gain an unbeliever. So much more could be said about that, of course, but the Lord is always the supreme example.
Can we just mention that the feet washing is applied to believers, first of all? And so how can the world get the benefit of this? That goes back to the love that we show one to another as we are loved, to love. Now, what is the form the love takes? One of the example is the feet washing to fellow believers.
And I think we could add Galatians 5, 22, 23, and I'll just read them. How are we to deport ourselves to others as a result of accepting feet washing and corrective ministry wherever necessary? It is in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." This is what we project, what we display, with the Spirit of God working through us to others. We project love, joy, peace. That's really, And then long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And against such there is no law. We don't need rules and regulations to make us behave after that. In other words, when we show forth the fruit of the Spirit, these things should be in place. And it's good to see that those first through three fruit, and notice it's singular fruit, not nine different fruits. It's evidences of the fruit of the Spirit, nine different character forms or characteristics or facets. And so we need to display evidence of all nine of those fruit. And the first three is inward to ourselves, love, joy, peace. And then the second three would be outward to others, and the last upward to God.
Just to follow up on the distinction between what's, it's inward and what's outward, there's another distinction. The ministry in the upper room is in the upper room. It's within the body of professing believers, which included Judas at the beginning, at least. Foot washing is something we do within the professing church. Jesus didn't wash the feet of the people that he was speaking to on the Mount of Olives. But if we want to win the world, then we have to follow Jesus' example there as well. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. I'll just add that.
The next question relates to Galatians 5:22, which Brother Gordon just read. Can you clarify or explain the concept of fruit bearing? Specifically, is it winning souls for Christ, or is it in accordance to the reference in Galatians 5, verse 22? So can you clarify or explain the concept of fruit bearing?
If we take it in its context, it begins this thought really in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is to be the character that we manifest as believers in the Lord Jesus. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's that conflict. The Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. But then he said, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under law. And now the works of the flesh, there it speaks of works, our efforts of from ourselves, our work at best and at worst are the works of the flesh. And they're listed here. They're works in plural. But then he contrasts that. The fruit of the Spirit, and as is mentioned, what characterizes this. Now notice 24 sums it up. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In all this context and of feet washing, it's not that now we suddenly become spiritual and can wash the feet. And applying the word, as was said, Ephesians 5, the washing of water by the word. The one who is used in this service himself must be in the gain of these various of these chapters. Himself walking in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, that is to say, if that is our life, spiritual life we have received in the power of the Spirit of God, well then let's also demonstrate this in our walk, in a practical way. That doesn't mean only in the upper room now. That's everywhere where we walk, to walk in the Spirit and then and not desirous of vainglory, but that's that humility that should characterize us everywhere.
One more comment about fruit bearing. We saw in Romans today that God is really concerned about fruit bearing. And you have that also in connection with Israel's history. Israel is compared with a fig tree. There the emphasis on the fruit of righteousness, to do the right thing, to maintain God's rights. Adam and Eve, after the fall, they tried to have things right with God, but on the basis of their own efforts, self-righteousness. That doesn't work. So this fruit-bearing is not self-effort. It is really something that God produces in us, if we have the right condition, so that his rights may be maintained, the fig tree, that his joy may be seen. That is the topic in John 15, in connection with the vine. It really produces the grapes, which is leading to wine, which is connected with joy. And so there is another aspect of fruit bearing. It is to satisfy God's heart for his joy. And when God is rejoicing, then we can rejoice. And the other aspect that we have in the olive tree, that is connected to what we had earlier, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. The olive tree, we see, is often connected with the Holy Spirit, the olive oil. And so there is then how the Holy Spirit works. And the Holy Spirit will always seek to exalt Christ in our lives. So if we are dependent on the Holy Spirit, then he will be able to produce something of Christ in us. And that is fruit-bearing.
And I may add just this one thought. What rises as fruit for God spreads in testimony to the world around.